A year ago, a quarter of the most elite startups in the world completely stopped writing their own foundational code. They just handed 95% of their software architecture over to artificial intelligence.
Which is still a staggering thing to think
about.
It
really is. Welcome to today's deep dive. We are jumping into a comprehensive 2026 industry guide from Brawley Academy, and it's titled, What Software is Used for Vibe Coding?
Great title, by the way.
Yeah, it really catches your attention. So our mission for you today is to demystify this massive paradigm shift, separate the internet hype from the actual tools developers are using in production right now, and uncover exactly why having this specific skill is suddenly commanding enormous salary premiums worldwide.
It's a critical shift to understand, because the transition has been relentlessly fast. We are no longer talking about a theoretical future of work. I mean, we are looking at the hard reality of the 2026 software industry.
And it all starts with this term, vibe coding. The guide notes this term was coined back in February 2025 by Andrej Karpathy, who's a former top AI leader at Tesla.
Okay, let's unpack this. What does vibe coding actually mean in practice? Because it sounds like someone lounging in a beanbag chair just hoping a website magically materializes.
Right. Yeah, the playful name definitely masks a highly sophisticated engineering process. So instead of a developer writing syntax, literally typing out every single bracket, variable, and loop line by line, they use natural language to communicate with a large language model.
Just talking to it.
Exactly. You describe your system architecture and business logic in plain English, the AI generates the actual code base, and your job becomes reviewing, testing, and iterating. You're essentially vibing with the machine, engaging in this continuous feedback loop until the generated software matches your exact intention. So we really need to understand the sheer scale of the impact here before we look at the specific tools, because the guide has this jaw-dropping statistic. As of March 2025, 25% of Y Combinator startups were using AI-generated code for over 95% of their code bases.
Yeah, and Y Combinator is arguably the ultimate bellwether for the global tech industry. I mean, they fund the most aggressive, cutting-edge startups on the planet.
The elite of the elite.
Right. So if a quarter of them had already abandoned manual typing a year ago, it signals that traditional line-by-line coding is rapidly becoming a legacy skill. Startups simply cannot afford the time it takes to manually type out boilerplate code anymore.
And the performance metrics in the source, they back that up completely. Development speed is up 40 to 55%, and overall development costs are dropping by 60%.
It's a total game changer.
It makes me think about the transition we are seeing in the automotive industry. Historically, a software developer was driving a manual transmission car. They had to constantly clutch, shift gears, monitor the RPMs, which, you know, in coding terms is managing memory allocation, fixing missing semicolons, setting up file structures.
They were exhausted just keeping the engine running.
Exactly. But now with vibe coding, it feels like stepping into a level 5 self-driving car. You don't tell the car how much fuel to inject into the engine, you just tell it the final destination.
Right.
You sit in the driver's seat, maybe your hands are hovering over the wheel just in case it swerves, but the machine is handling all the granular mechanics of the journey. Or, actually, a better analogy might be a film director.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, instead of the developer being the actor, the set designer, and the camera operator all at once, they are now the director sitting in the chair. They're just giving instructions to an incredibly fast AI-powered crew.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, what you are describing is the democratization of software creation. Traditionally, it took, 2 to 3 years of intense, frustrating study to become proficient enough to build a reliable full-stack application.
Easily.
You had to memorize syntax across multiple different languages, one for the database, one for the server, another for the user interface.
It was a massive barrier to entry.
It was. Today, a beginner can learn to deploy those same applications in a matter of weeks. By letting the AI handle the mechanical syntax, the human mind is freed up to focus entirely on system architecture, user experience, and solving the actual business problem.
So the brain power shifts from how do I format this command to what should this system achieve?
Exactly. Which brings us to the tools making that possible. Because if you are stepping into this new role, if you are becoming the director of your software rather than the typist, you need to know exactly which crew to hire for the job.
And the 2026 software market is intensely fragmented. The Brawley Academy Guide categorizes the current landscape into two main camps, AI coding assistants and no-code or low-code builders. Let's start by breaking down the assistants.
Okay.
These are tools that actually integrate into a developer's workflow. So the most familiar one is ChatGPT, which the guide notes is browser-based, great for beginners, and useful for iterative debugging. But then it highlights Claude AI specifically, the 3.5 Sonnet model, and it calls it vastly superior for complex architecture and reasoning. Why the massive difference in capability there?
The mechanism that sets Claude apart is its context window and how it handles working memory. Think of a context window as the AI's short-term memory capacity.
Okay.
When you are building a massive enterprise application, you have dozens of interconnected files, a database schema over here, a user authentication flow over there. Claude has an extraordinary ability to ingest all those files at once and hold that entire complex web of relationships in its mind simultaneously without losing the plot. Yeah, so ChatGPT is incredibly fast for generating a quick Python script, but Claude can look at your entire system architecture and spot a logical flaw three layers deep.
That explains why the guide favors it for the heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Now, those are both browser-based, meaning you have to copy and paste code back and forth. But if you want the AI living right inside your code editor, the guide points to GitHub Copilot.
Right, a staple for a lot of teams.
Yeah. At $10 a month, it plugs directly into traditional integrated development environments, or IDEs, like Visual Studio Code. The primary feature here is fast inline completions,
which fundamentally changes the psychological flow state of the developer. As you are typing the name of a function, Copilot is analyzing the rest of your local file and instantly predicting the next 20 lines of code in gray text.
So you just hit the tab key to accept it?
You just hit tab. It is acting like a hyper-aware assistant standing over your shoulder, constantly finishing your sentences before you even vocalize them.
That sounds incredibly smooth for traditional developers. But then we reach the heavy hitters. The tools built entirely for this new paradigm, Cursor AI in Windsurf.
Yes, this is where it gets really advanced.
The guide positions Cursor, which runs $20 a month, as an AI-first IDE built specifically for vibe coding. It features a composer mode for multi-file edits. And then we have Windsurf, starting at $25 a month, which is designed for complex enterprise systems using agentic AI workflows. We really need to break down what makes these different from Copilot.
The core distinction lies in autonomy. Copilot waits for you to type and offers suggestions, right?
Right.
Cursor, on the other hand, assumes the AI is the primary author. With its composer mode, you can ask it to, say, add a dark mode theme to the entire application. And Cursor will simultaneously edit 10 different files across your front end and back end to implement that feature in one sweeping action.
So it's orchestrating the whole code base, not just the file you happen to have open.
Exactly the point.
Yeah.
And Windsurf pushes that boundary even further into agentic workflows.
Hmm.
When we say agentic, we mean the AI acts as an independent agent with its own agency.
Meaning it can do things without you explicitly holding its hand.
Yes. You give Windsurf a high-level goal, and it opens its own terminal. It writes the code, attempts to run it, reads the error message when the code inevitably fails, and then rewrites its own code to fix the error. It loops through this trial and error process entirely on its own before it ever pings you to review the final working result.
That is wild. It's not just suggesting code. It's actively testing and debugging its own work in the background. Now, those are the assistants. You still need to interact with actual code files. But the guide introduces this second major category, the no-code and low-code builders. And I have to admit, I have some serious questions about this section.
Let's hear them.
Well, the guide details a tool called Lovable, describing it as a prompt-first platform that builds full-stack React and TypeScript apps, complete with built-in backends and databases. Then it mentions Bolt.new, which is an instant web app builder that works entirely in the browser.
Both very powerful tools.
Sure, but if tools like Lovable can generate complete functioning applications in minutes from plain English without a human ever looking at a line of code, why does anyone need to learn an IDE like Cursor? Won't these AI assistants just become obsolete if the builders do everything automatically?
It is a totally valid concern. But if we look at the head-to-head comparisons in the source text, we expose the hard ceiling on those no-code builders. Platforms like Lovable and Bolt.new are absolute magic for generating minimum viable products, or MVPs.
Right, just getting something off the ground.
Exactly. If you are a startup founder and you need a functional prototype to show an angel investor tomorrow morning, those tools are unbeatable. You describe the app and it exists.
Wait, but if I build this amazing app on Lovable and it goes viral overnight, and suddenly I have a massive influx of users and need to customize my data routing, am I trapped?
That is the exact vendor lock-in the guide warns about. you are effectively trapped on their abstracted infrastructure. When you use a builder, the backend is simplified and entirely managed by that platform.
So I don't really own it.
You don't own the underlying architecture in a way that allows for infinite scaling. If you need to implement complex enterprise-grade features like advanced fintech payment routing or HIPAA-compliant healthcare data management, you need absolute control over security protocols, performance optimization, and where your database is physically located.
I see. So if I hit that wall, I would essentially have to rewrite the app from scratch.
Which is why developers must graduate to tools like Cursor or Windsurf, utilizing languages like Node.js or Python. You still use the AI to write the code incredibly fast, but you maintain ownership of the actual files and infrastructure. The builders are strictly for prototyping and testing ideas. The AI assistants are for building scalable, production-ready software.
Mastering the specific tools is crucial, but it's only half the equation. To truly understand why this deep dive matters to your career trajectory, we have to look at the global economic earthquake this is causing. Here's where it gets really interesting. The geographic adoption numbers in this Brawley Academy guide are staggering.
We're witnessing a massive, rapid realignment of global tech dynamics.
The guide states that India is currently leading the entire world in AI coding adoption with a 73% usage rate. That absolutely dwarfs the United States, which is sitting at 45%, and the UK at just 29%. It zeroes in on Hyderabad specifically as this exploding hub for vibe coding.
The numbers coming out of there are incredible.
They really are. Freshers, recent university graduates are starting at 6 to 12 lakh rupees per annum. Experienced AI developers are commanding 30 to 70 plus lakh rupees per annum.
And that explosive domestic salary growth is just the baseline. The guide emphasizes that developers utilizing these tools are taking on freelance contracts for global clients, earning 2 to 5 times higher rates than their local market opportunities.
But here's the detail that really caught my eye. The guide claims that proficiency in tools like Cursor and Copilot results in a 20 to 30% premium on your salary compared to developers who are still using traditional tools.
Right.
Why would a company pay a massive premium to a developer for using a tool that supposedly makes their job easier?
Because that 20% salary premium buys the employer a 500% increase in output. What is happening in hubs like Hyderabad is the ultimate leveling of the global playing field. In the past, a massive tech company in Silicon Valley had an insurmountable advantage simply because they had the capital to hire 50 elite senior developers to manually type out a massive platform.
They could just throw money and manpower at the problem.
Today, that advantage is eroding. A small startup team or even a solo freelancer sitting in Hyderabad can use Cursor AI, leverage advanced agentic workflows, and output the exact same volume of production-ready code as that massive Silicon Valley team did just a few years ago.
That's incredible leverage.
The barrier to entry for building enterprise-grade software has never been lower. The financial rewards are flowing heavily to the early adopters who learn to orchestrate these tools because they operate with the output of an entire engineering department.
It goes right back to the film director analogy. You don't need a massive Hollywood studio budget if your AI crew works for $25 a month, has read every coding manual on Earth, and never sleeps.
The leverage is unprecedented.
So we've established the massive financial upside, and we've mapped out the tools. Now, we need to give you a practical step-by-step blueprint so you can actually apply this knowledge today. Because, you know, reading an industry guide doesn't deploy the software. Brawley Academy outlines a very clear, pragmatic learning roadmap.
It is designed to take someone from a complete beginner to deploying real production code in a matter of months rather than years.
Step one is surprisingly simple. Start free. The guide advises against buying expensive enterprise licenses on day one. Spend your first few weeks using the free tier of ChatGPT or tinkering with Lovable just to understand the underlying logic of interacting with an LLM.
This initial phase is really about adjusting your mindset. You are learning a new programming language, but that language isn't JavaScript or C++. It is the language of extremely precise, unambiguous human instruction.
Which perfectly transitions to step two, mastering prompt engineering. I want to elevate the example the source uses here because it highlights the fundamental mechanism of how AI actually generates output. The guide contrasts a terrible prompt with a highly effective one. A bad prompt is simply typing, build a website.
When you ask an AI to simply build a website, you are leaving the statistical probability space entirely wide open. The model has to guess your architectural intent, your design system, your target audience. Because it lacks constraints, the output will inevitably be generic, bloated, or entirely off-base.
To get good code, you have to narrow that probability space. So the highly effective prompt in the guide is, build a React landing page with a hero section, three feature cards, and a contact form using Tailwind CSS.
Notice the structural guardrails in that second prompt. It dictates the specific front-end framework, React. It provides the exact component hierarchy, a hero section, three cards, a form. And it mandates the styling language, Tailwind CSS.
It leaves no room for guessing.
Exactly. By providing those strict parameters, you eliminate the AI's need to guess. You are dictating the exact technical boundaries of the vibe. Furthermore, as you advance, you incorporate techniques like few-shot prompting.
What's that?
That's where you actually paste in examples of your existing code style, so the AI learns to mimic your specific formatting before it generates anything new.
Oh, that makes sense. You are handing the AI a detailed architectural blueprint rather than just asking for a house. Once you've practiced that level of prompting, you move to step three. After 4 to 8 weeks, the guide says you must graduate to an IDE integrated tool, like Cursor AI. And this is the crucial pivot, because the guide explicitly states you do need to learn some traditional skills here. You need to understand basic Git for version control, basic JavaScript, and how APIs function.
This raises an important question. What does it actually mean to be a developer in 2026? There's a dangerous misconception floating around that vibe coding means you can remain entirely ignorant of how computers work.
Right, just push a button and magic happens.
But the source text makes it clear that AI generates significantly better code when the human operator understands the underlying logic. Vibe coding isn't about avoiding learning, it's about shifting the focus of your learning.
Because if the AI spits out 2,000 lines of code, and you have no idea how an API actually routes data between a server and a database, you won't know if the AI just solved your problem or if it's completely hallucinating.
Exactly the risk.
Yeah.
You are no longer memorizing the syntax of how to write a perfectly formatted API call, but you absolutely must understand what an API is, how data flows through a distributed system, and how to logically structure a solution. You are the final reviewer.
You're still on the hook for it working.
Yes. If the AI proposes a database query that will bottleneck the system as soon as you hit 1,000 users, you need the architectural knowledge to spot that flaw and prompt the AI to rewrite it for efficiency. You are the director. You still need to know what good acting looks like, even if you aren't on the stage.
Let's bring all of this together. Based on Brawley Academy's 2026 guide, vibe coding has moved far beyond an experimental fringe concept. It is the established industry standard.
Undeniably.
The tools, whether you're using ChatGPT for learning the ropes, Lovable for spinning up a rapid MVP, or Windsurf for an autonomous enterprise build, are highly capable and ready right now. The learning curve to build complex software has dropped from years of tedious syntax study down to a few intense months of mastering system architecture and prompt engineering. And the financial rewards, driven by a massive leveling of the global playing field, are heavily favoring those who jump in today.
The defining takeaway from the data is that the software developer of today is fundamentally a communicator and a systems architect, no longer a typist.
That leaves us with one final, truly wild thought to chew on as we wrap up. We know from the Y Combinator data that the most elite startups are already generating 95% of their code with AI. If human beings entirely stop writing foundational line-by-line code and AI models are continuously trained by scraping the massive code bases of the public internet well, how will the AI models of 2036 learn, improve, and evolve if their only new training data is the code generated by the AI of 2026?
It creates the ultimate closed-loop feedback system. We have to wonder if that leads to an explosion of efficiency or a terrifying degradation of code quality known as model collapse.
It is definitely something to keep in the back of your mind as you start your own journey into this space. Keep exploring, go test out those free tiers of Lovable and Claude, and start practicing the precision of your prompts. Because you are now well informed on the reality of vibe coding. Remember, you hold the director's chair now. You just have to learn how to talk to your new crew.